Well, I had an interesting chat this week to a traveller from the UK who travels solo and has been doing so since 2010, with a few stints back home in London to restock her finances. Ellie Quinn was in Thailand when I first connected with her online, but then I spoke to her this week from Malaysia, and she's a confident young woman who's got some good tips for travelling in Asia. She says she's never really felt unsafe. And she'll tell you that she reckons that she can get around Asia for 30 British pounds, about 50 Australian dollars a day. Pardon me if my math's not great.
That's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good. And this is a sensible traveller. She's not out there trying to change the world or win an influencer competition. So I found Ellie Quinn quite a refreshing actual and...
A real traveller.
A real, fair dinkum, no fake news traveller.
Yeah. Ellie, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Hello, thanks for having me.
That's a great pleasure. Now, you've been on the road for a while, haven't you?
I have. Well, this time I've been on the road for about 5 months, but I have been travelling on and off since 2010. So it's getting up to nearly 10 years.
So you quit your job to do that, obviously?
Yes. So on this trip, five-month trip so far, I quit my job last summer in July to travel full-time and then also to take my blog full-time as well.
So what were you doing prior? What was the job?
I was working for a property department for a restaurant chain. I mean, I enjoyed it, to be honest. I did enjoy it. It was a good job and a good company, but it was very much something I just fell into when I moved back to London after travelling my last trip, which finished in 2016. Thankfully, it went quite well for me, so I enjoyed my time there. It wasn't what set my soul on fire. So
you've got the wanderlust, have you?
I have got wanderlust very badly.
And you do travel on your own, Ellie, is that right?
Yes, I do, yeah, mainly on my own. I mean, in the last 5 months, I met up with some friends in India. It just worked out that we were there at the same time, so that was nice. But majority of the time on my own.
Do you feel perfectly safe doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a very confident traveller. I think that comes from the amount of years I have travelled solo. But I also think that I was maybe like that even when I first started travelling. So I very much listen to my intuition and I kind of am very aware of everything around you. I think that's what comes with solo travel as well. And, you know, I really have never had any issues, so I don't have any reason to not be confident when I think about traveling somewhere else.
So what type of traveler are you? Are you a backpacker, a flash packer, a five-star traveler? How do you get around?
Oh, definitely not the latter. Right. I say I'm a backpacker because I have a backpack.
Right.
But I definitely... Probably more of a flash packer these days, to be honest. I'm still quite money budget focused, but not as much as I used to be on previous trips. Like, for example, I still do stay in hostels now, but I'd rather get my own room. Whereas on previous trips, when I've been very much like on a tight budget, been a bit more aware of my money of thinking, oh, can I do this? Whereas now I'm still careful. I'm not really frivolous with my money, but I do kind of give myself a little bit more to spend and a little bit more leeway these days.
I guess hostels are one area where you may potentially run into issues as a single female traveller.
Well, I always stay in female dorms, so that's not a problem. And they're offered literally all around the world now, actually. And that's more just because I don't like people snoring and I tend to find that men make me more likely to snore.
I do know a few women who can snore.
No, so do I. I've had that experience. Don't worry about that. Yeah. That's kind of the main thing that puts me off hostels, actually, to be honest. But I think hostels as well, you know, again, if you read the reviews, and there's a lot of chain hostels, whether that's in Asia or in Europe or in South America, it's the same. So generally, when you know if you're going into one of those hostels, you're going to get good quality because, you know, they're a big brand, basically. So I've never had any issues as a solo traveller in hostels either, to be honest.
Do you find you get unwanted attention? I mean, the Italians have a reputation for pinching bottoms.
Yeah, I have wanted attention a lot when I've travelled. I've travelled South America on my own, a few countries in the Middle East. More recently, I was in India for 4 months. And now, I'm just in Malaysia. So I've definitely had my fair share of catcalling, of staring, of comments from men when I... You know, they walk past you and It's very annoying. I mean, I've never been in a situation where I felt unsafe. I just get really kind of agitated by the comments because I'm just like, oh, it's just so annoying. And I've never had anyone kind of, I've never had any kind of physical, you know, issues either. But again, I think it also comes down with I'm very kind of confident. I don't really, men do try and get into conversations with me. I don't really kind of give people the time of day if I feel like their intention isn't right.
So you stride confidently, probably, do you?
Oh yes, I am. When I walk,
you mean business?
I'm a fast walker anyway, but I am a very purposeful walker. Yeah. So, and even in London, like everywhere, but especially when I travel, you know, I make it look like I know exactly where I'm going, even if I don't. Very confident. Don't, you know, dally about. And I think that really helps because obviously if people were to see you, they're like, oh, she knows where she's going. Maybe she actually like lives here because she's very confident in where she's going and what she's doing.
So you sneak around the corner and check Google Maps, do you?
yeah, I'll pop into a shop or something
like
that.
I think as we're chatting along, you're probably giving people who are listening a few good tips along the way. What's the most exciting place you've been, Ellie?
I'd probably say India. Right. It was hard towards the end. Like, so I was there for 4 months, so it was hard. But when I think back to my first 2 months, especially, I spent the first 2 months in northern India. And I think it was just exciting because it's so different. And I know everyone says about India for travellers that want something a bit different and crazy, but it's just so different to anywhere else. But also, like, everywhere is so different, all of the different cities. So you'll get on a train a few hours and you'll be somewhere completely new. And it does kind of feel like you're travelling a different country each time, but you're within the same country, which I think is really cool. And there was always celebrations on. And, yeah, it was just very... just always very interesting. So I guess that takes to a quite an exciting trip.
Do you find yourself getting engaged in the celebrations? Were people sort of drag you into the middle of the chanting and dancing and throwing coloured paint and stuff?
Yeah, well, I wasn't there for Holi when they did the paint kind of thing, but I was there for a few different festivals, just really random ones. Like I was in Jodhpur one day and I just went down to the market square that the day before had been really quiet. And today there were camels there being ridden. Everyone with like all the guys were in their like royal uniforms. Yeah. People were dancing, singing, and they were kind of getting everyone involved as well. So yeah, I feel like it sounds like a cliche when you think of that as India, but that's literally real life. And that's what happens to you there.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. So how much longer do you expect to be on the road for this particular trip, Ellie?
I'm going back to the UK at the end of May because I have a family wedding to go to, but I also have a trip to Italy. So I figured I'm going to finish up in Asia at the end of May, head home for a little bit and then go to Italy and then try and see some of the UK in the summer before heading back to Asia.
So when you travel, do you fly or do you go overland? How do you travel the continent?
To be honest, in the last 5 months, I haven't taken many flights at all. I guess because I spent a lot of time in India, so it was good with the trains. But I'm definitely not opposed to doing land travel. I was in Thailand before Malaysia and I came down by a bus down through the border. It was just cheaper. And I probably look into the prices. So obviously sometimes you have to fly, that's fair enough. But if you're going through like internally within a country or countries that are next to each other, then I will look into bus and train options as well. And I find often, even price aside, you might see a flight that's 1 hour, but by the time you've got to the airport, waited at the airport, and then done all the travel, like the journeys the other side as well, you might as well have just gone.
Exactly how you feel. I had one of those days yesterday. Tell me, what would you consider a good average cost per day for you to travel in Asia?
I would say about £30. Sorry, I'm thinking in pounds.
£30,
Which is... I basically say as well, especially for Southeast Asia, I say to people, if you have £1,000 a month, I think that's a good budget. Because some countries
would be dearer than that.
Some countries... you'll spend more. Yeah. Like, for example, Thailand is a little bit more pricey these days. And like, you know, Indonesia, if you're wanting to do the kind of cool brunches in Bali, that kind of thing, you know, you are going to be spending more money. But then in countries like Vietnam, Laos, You know, Cambodia, you're going to spend less. So then they kind of, I've always worked it out as, yeah, it kind of balances out then to roughly about $1,000 a month. And I think that gives you a good, it still gives you a good living day-to-day cost. Well, it's not like your super budget, so you could do it for less.
£30, that's probably about 50 Aussie dollars a month, a day. 50 a day. That's not too bad.
No.
Fantastic. Well, look, Ellie, it's been lovely chatting with you, and I hope people maybe have gleaned some little tips from your time on the road. And you've got a blog. What's the name of the blog if people wanted to follow you along?
I have. My blog is called The Wandering Quinn, which is Q-U-I-N-N, like my surname. And then on Instagram, I'm big on Instagram and Instagram stories as well. And that's at The Wandering Quinn.
Anyway, lovely to chat with you here on Travel Writers Radio.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
That was solo traveller Ellie Quinn there speaking to me this week from Georgetown in Malaysia.